This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The website music station Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining us over the phone is an author. They have a new book out called God's Existence, Truth or Fiction? The Answer Revealed. It is Gary Lindberg. Gary, thanks so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. How's everything going?
Well, thank you, Zach, for taking time to talk with me. And I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, glad to hear. Well, tell me all about what God Existence is. What's the book all about?
The book is about my scientific study in which I demonstrate how science proves the existence of God.
Wow. So, you know, I mean, that's incredible, first off, that you were able to use science to prove that fact. What were some of the things that you found out?
Well, let me preface my answer with a couple of basic information. First, in the Bible, Jesus tells some followers that if they see dark clouds in the sky, they will know it will likely rain. I don't know how it is in New York, where you or my native state of Minnesota, because I left Minnesota when I was almost seven. Anyway, I think that even 2,000 years later, many people believe that if the clouds get dark, it's going to rain. The second thing I want to point out is that some American Indians used to hunt to find food for themselves, their families, and their tribes. And they might hunt deer, buffalo, or bear as examples. And in order to find those animals or their prey, they would find the tracks in the ground. And that helped them to find out where the animals were. And when so they knew that what tracks told them, they had a lot of information. And certainly, for example, the age of the animal, whether it was an older animal or a younger animal. And the third point I want to point out is archaeologists found fossils of animals like dinosaurs, remnants of pottery, and other artifacts.
Hmm.
And remains of ancient villages.
You know, so it's so interesting. But like, you know, obviously those are references of past life, and you know, and remnants of, like, you know, of times before us existing. But you know, what about those instances are of us finding God?
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that, like, for example, archaeologists find dinosaur fossils. They can create images of different dinosaurs or the pottery they find or other artifacts. And they can figure out what an entire village in ancient times looked like. Well, I'm trying to say with all these examples is that God leaves tracks of his existence.
Hmm.
He leaves his tracks in different sciences, and that includes botany, zoology, human anatomy, astronomy, chemistry, physics, plus mathematics. And I might add that I took math all the way up into and including calculus, so I have some background there. So I look at the different sciences, and I find evidence which I submit proves the existence of God. It's not me that's saying this. I'm saying that science proves this.
You know, and something about you too, you know, you had a master's of business administration, you know, degree, you know, right. And you did that for over, a 43-year career in human resources.
Yes.
You know, where did the science come from? Where did you get your interest in science?
Well, when I was growing up, my interest was more in science than in English. And so I took various sciences, chemistry several times,
yeah.
Physics. And then I took, when I was in high school, it was time for me to take biology. And I happened to ask other students who had taken biology before me what was entailed in the study of biology. And they frequently told me that one of the things that spent a lot of time on was dissecting frogs. Well, cutting up frogs really didn't excite me. So I elected to take botany instead. Well, when I did take botany, I learned a very important lesson. And that lesson was that all plant life is organized in seven basic levels of categories. We're talking about phylum, kingdom, order, down to the most specific level of species. Well, that was interesting enough. But then later in life, I found out that all animal life is also classified by the same seven levels of categories, kingdom, phylum, order, down to the most specific level of species. Well, then it struck me, if all plant life and all animal life are that well organized, I could not see how that happened by accident. I couldn't see how that happened by random, and that even includes evolution.
And so what was your reasoning for not—
That provided evidence of the existence of God.
So what was your reasoning then for not going into a career in science? It seemed like you were so interested in it.
Well, I was interested in science, but that was not really my major interest. And I liked my American history instructor, and I loved American history. And so I decided to major in for my undergraduate work in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. So I left science behind, so to speak. But the principles of history helped me to evaluate the principles of science, too. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. You know, and you've written two books about this, technically. You know, you wrote God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for a Greater Insight, and then obviously this one, sir. God's Existence, Truth or Fiction, The Answer Revealed. So, you know, you've done your research on this, you know, you've done your studies on it. You know, what has been the response, I guess, from people who have picked up this book and learned these facts?
Well, some people are saying that it's changed their perspective, and they have realized that I'm not trying to say that science or the Bible are factual in and of themselves, and that they're not opposites. I'm trying to say they are not opposites of each other, that they actually are compatible, because when I was growing up, I started thinking, and I asked myself, well, who created the Bible? Well, of course, to me, the answer was clear that God created the Bible because he organized or inspired people to write it and to organize it. Mm-hmm. And then I asked myself, well, who created science? Well, the answer to that was pretty clear. God created science because he created the universe and all that's in it. Well, then it struck me that if God created both the Bible and science, they can't be saying opposite things. They have to be compatible. They have to be saying pretty similar things, if not the same things. And in Genesis, I think that's even more clear.
Have you always been like a religious man too?
I am.
You know, what has been like, you know, kind of your continuation, you know, with believing in God and believing in, you know, everything and all that stuff too?
Well, I believe that I believe in God, and I believe that evolution is correct. I just happen to believe that Charles Darwin's theory in 1859 was erroneous. He didn't know anything about genetics. He didn't know anything about how human traits are transferred from generation to generation. So even though he might have called it the theory of evolution, more recently, people are saying, well, it wasn't the evolution he was talking about. Well, that's not the title of his theory. Mm-hmm. And that is what he was talking about. But since 1859, we've learned about genetics and a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And so his theory has been modified since then. But the one thing I submit is incorrect in his theory is, he submits that all life, plant, animal, human, originate from one single source. And I think that's a false statement. So the point I'm trying to make is that the two are not opposites. They are compatible. And when you look at Genesis, that it's very easy to show that to be true.
Fair enough. That's you know, and it's a really cool way of looking at life and looking at this, you know, at this scenario too, you know. Does God exist? We'll never really know in the end. But is this a really cool concept to think about? I mean, it's definitely eye-opening, which is a lot of fun, you know, and it's really cool that you put this perspective into a book and for everybody to read too, because you know it's an idea that I don't think is really talked about much. When it comes to thinking about, you know, oh, does this actually exist in the real world? You know, and, yeah, and it's pretty interesting too. I would love to see what somebody like a atheist, would think of this book too, what they would think of, you know, kind of the ideas behind it as well.
Well, I write on, Quora.com, and there are lots of atheists there, and they're not open-minded, from what I see. They're not willing. They have a set belief and that's it. And they're not going to budge from that. And that's fine.
It's always hard to change someone's opinion, obviously, you know, but it's really cool. It's just a cool way of, listen, for me, on my perspective, you know, it's like, you know, everybody's ideas are always fun and invigorating, you know, everybody can have all these different ideas and opinions and whatnot. And it's always so cool to hear everybody's opinion and just kind of sure. collaborate together and make your own assumptions.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to do with when I offer this book is help people to look at things at a different perspective. In Genesis, I think that the Bible has a lot of errors in it. Mm. And so you can't think of the Bible as a literal truth. It's not.
Yeah.
For example, the first words in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is God made the heavens and earth. What are heavens? Well, we know from science that the universe is about 13.7 billion years old. The solar system in which we live is about 4.67 billion years old. And the Earth itself is 4.54 billion years old. Mm-hmm. So we know the heavens include the universe, the solar systems, and the planets. Mm-hmm. Well, from the timetable or the years of age I just gave you, you know that God made the universe first, then he made solar systems. And since there's a difference between 13.7 billion years and 4.67 billion years when he made the Milky Way galaxy, then he created other solar systems. So we weren't the first solar system created, and we weren't the first planet created. Mm-hmm. And then it says he created the earth after that. So, and then it goes on and says, let there be light. God said, let there be light. And it was good. And day one. Well, then on day four, it says God made the sun and the stars. And that's absolutely incorrect. Because if you have light on the first day, he created the sun already. It was already created. So how could he have? He couldn't create it on day four because he created it on day one.
A lot of things
even before that.
A lot of things to think about when it comes to this. To this whole concept of does this exist? Does this not exist? I want to ask you too. You know, obviously you've written three books actually, but you know, there's two on this subject. Is there going to be a third on this subject?
On this, no, I'm not so sure. Maybe, but I'm not particularly planning on it.
Is there anything coming up in the future that you're working on now?
No, I'm just promoting right now.
Nice.
I wanted to write the first book because that was what I was thinking about. And then I wanted to write the second book, which was The Vegetable Grows and the Lion Roars, my Peace Corps service, because I wanted to record my experience that I had in the 1960s in the Peace Corps, where I served in West Africa as to teach primary school children how to more effectively grow vegetables in a tropical climate.
That's incredible.
And so those are the two books I intended to write. The third book, I started to write, and as I was writing it, I kept repeating what I was saying in the first book, and I said, this isn't what I wanted to do. And finally, I ended up focusing on the Bible, and I want to allow myself to free think. I didn't want to be controlled by any Christian doctrine or ideas or any scientific ideas. I just wanted to see what I would come out with just by thinking freely. Mm-hmm. And that's why I got the third book written.
Well, you know, it's really cool. You kind of get that, you got that book, got those books out there too. And it's amazing that, you know, the response has been, and it's really going to be a book that I'm excited for people to pick up, because, you know, it's a different way of looking at life.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I want people to take away from it. I want them to understand there's a different perspective, and we don't have to be limited by our preconceived ideas. And for example, in Genesis, it talks about God created the earth in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. Well, what I'm pointing out is, what is the definition of day, and how do you define day?
Yeah.
Well, a day is a day, 24 hours, according to our current perspective of a human being. Or do you define the word day from the perspective of the one who created the day? And that, if you change your perspective, and you change your perspective about evolution to slightly, you realize that there were 13 different species of humans, including Cro-Magnons, Neanderthals, Homo erectus, Homo sapiens, and so forth. And all those different 13 different species, one by one, became extinct. And why did, and how did they become extinct? I suggest it was because God finished dealing with them. There's only one species left, and that species that's currently labeled Homo sapiens sapiens. That's the we have traces of Neanderthals in us, and we have traces of Cro-Magnons in us. I don't know what else, but the point is that there's only one species left. Well, now, since God already created a number of different species, did he create more than one human when Adam and Eve supposedly came on the scene? I suggest that there probably were more, because in the Bible it says God Cain killed his brother Abel, and then he went to live in the land of Nod and married a woman. Well, the Bible doesn't say who the woman was, but it does say the names of his children.
Yeah.
And so how does he go? If Adam and Eve are the first people created, how does he go to a different land and find a wife? Maybe because they were already existing with Adam. Maybe Adam and Eve weren't the first people. And if they were, maybe other people were created with them.
Well, the book is called, the book is out there right now. It's on Amazon. It's called God's Existence, Truth or Fiction, The Answer Revealed. Gary Lindberg, thank you for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. You can pick up the book, by the way, on Amazon and everywhere books are sold. But Gary, you know, where can people find you online?
My website is GaryRLindberg.com.
Awesome.
GaryRLindberg.com. It's got a lot of pictures of my people I met while I was in the Peace Corps.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And awesome, really cool service, by the way, that you were able to do that as well. Love to come back and talk to you more about that too, and get that on the air as well. But Gary, thank you so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. Best of luck with everything, and best of luck with this series. And hopefully we get to speak to you again soon.
Well, thank you, Zach. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me, and it's been a pleasure talking with you.
You too. The Webster Music Station, Z Radio Live, back with more Zach Feldman Show right after this.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.